They got as far as the Tanana, they were above Tanana up the rapids, and then they got scared and turned back.
Scared them off.
Is that so?
Yes, about Russians getting as far as the Hudson Bay coast before you come.
Yeah, that's right.
On traveling on the ice.
No, they never come up farther than Tanana.
When these whalers were iced in at Herschel Island,
yeah.
Was there a big Indian settlement up there, or were there lots of Eskimos up there?
No, they go in the bay, you know, so the ice won't hurt them. That's why they go in there, behind the island.
That's Eskimo country. Oh,
that's
Eskimo,
Eskimo
country there.
No Indian there.
I think the Arctic village is about the farthest north Indian in North America. You don't know any more?
Yeah, beyond where my tribe is, there's no more Indian. Mm-hmm. Just Eskimo.
Were you afraid of the Eskimo?
Huh?
Was your family afraid of the Eskimo?
No.
You didn't worry?
They treat us good.
Yeah. Did you trade with them, Paul?
Oh, yes. The Butter Island, that's the name of the Butter Island. That's a place they meet every summer.
Oh.
All the Indian and all the Eskimo around there, from Barrow down the other way.
What sort of things did you get from the Eskimo, and what did they want from you?
What did you trade with them?
Oh, trade with us. They buy skin and sinew.
Sinew, yeah. And
what did you people buy from them?
Oh, we buy everything. They got some stuff from whaler.
Oh, really?
They buy wolf skin. Or a bargain place.
Sure.
They make they say they make a deal. They say going to meet their bargain place. No trouble. And if I want your coat, you can't say no.
Yeah.
I gotta buy it.
Uh-huh.
You can't say no. A bargain place.
Yeah.
Friendly meeting.
When I crossed Cowtag Portage in 1921, I met a party of Indians coming over with an Eskimo boy. They were bringing him back so he could learn the Indian language, and he could be an interpreter between the two peoples.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sometimes you did that, huh?
I used to talk Eskimo when I was 8 years old, but that's over 70 years ago now. I left the country there.
What is a brushman? What is a brushman?
Well, that's an Eskimo.
Nadia.
What is a brushman?
Brushman. Oh, brushman is a man going to brush and never come out again. He stay in a hole.
That's an Eskimo superstition, that brushman.
What's that?
No, yeah.
It's a little bit of men like
this. It's quite prevalent around Fort Yukon. Many of the people still believe that. That's an Indian superstition. The Indian word for brushman is na'in.
You tell us.
There's people there today that still believe in it.
Yeah. If you kill somebody, the tribe tell you to go, you'll go. You're not coming back no more. You live by yourself in the brush. That's your brushman.
Yeah.
Oh.
What happens when you get sick up there?
You die.
No, you don't. I was living.
Ship, is it?
You get sick.
Sick?
Yeah, I lived in Arctic Village for a while.
Nobody's sick.
And it's
not as I know of.
Gilbert Joseph, or Joseph Gilbert,
mm-hmm.
He got sick, and he said that he was pretty near to die, and his son killed a caribou and gave him the raw blood, and he drank that raw blood.
Yeah.
He felt better right away.
I don't know. Gilbert, you know where he come from?
Yeah, downriver.
Down the river. Yeah, I guess he come from Kotzebue or someplace.
No, Andic.
Andic.
Andic, yeah. That's where all the medicine men came from in the early days.
Yeah.
Well, they all come from Andic. And a lot of them got to be chiefs at different places.
And my tribe, they name was Magnificent. Only when I come to Circle, where I see Indian people make medicine, I asked my father what they're doing. I said, they make medicine for sick men.
You know, a lot of people still believe in medicine men.
Oh yes, lots of people, Indian here, Fort Yukon people, they don't believe.
I don't believe it myself either.
Arctic Village people, they don't believe medicine men. And one preacher wrote to me, my brother lived down here in Minto. He's supposed to be a medicine man. He was a good doctor, they said. And sometime, long time ago, you know, there's some doctor, some good for meat, and some bad one that kill someone with it, and some doctor, well. And I asked my brother, why don't you be a Christian instead of medicine man? He said, I quit everything, but I don't know how to quit the power I got.
Yeah.
Well, and some preacher wrote to me from the Temple of God Church. He said, he asked me about the medicine man. They do bad, he says, and why they're doing it, how they do it, and everything. And I don't know, I don't say no bad thing. I say, one, you people preach one God, one Bible, and then you say, one God, you say, then you say Satan.
Yeah.
Well, that's a true God then. You're telling a lie.
Yeah,
sure. So I told him, I say, I don't believe there was any enemy to God, because He is Almighty God. He made us, He made creation. How could be an enemy to God? I say, there's no enemy to God. Whoever do a thing wrong, why, He's enemy. There's nothing back him. And my brother say, he got power. You got to have power when you're doctor and do the same thing. And he wrote to me, he says, well, he said, they've done lots of good with the medicine men, medicine, and they've done lots of bad thing too. Today the same thing. I say, ask yourself, you say, you one God. I don't think there was any Satan. I said, that's my belief. Everybody has different belief. You believe different, she believe different, I believe different. And there's so Almighty God, He made us, we belong to Him. Just like a little while ago I said, brushman, his punishment is going to live alone, see?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing. Long time ago they got heaven too, before white people. There were Preacher Creek over there, they're supposed to go there when they die. And if you're bad, they don't take you in there. And you stay where you die.
When you were getting to be a young man, did they have any certain things that you had to do to prove that you were a young man or anything like that?
Young man?
Yeah, as a young man, did they have any... Every boy had to do certain things to become a young man? Or
well, something? I just a little while ago said they train us.
Uh-huh.
And I was graduate early. Earliest they ever know. They thought I was going to be the future chief, but after I get to be a man, no more chief, see?
Did you know Henry Appel?
Huh?
Did you know Henry Appel?
Henry...
Appel?
Powell, yeah.
Appel?
Appel, no.
He used to be at Circle. He owned Henry Appel.
Saloon?
No, he had a big homestead up there at Circle. He lived there at Circle for years.
Henry,
I know he got the name.
I know Henry Power, and I know...
Appelle, Henry Appel.
Oh, Henry Appel, I know him, yeah. these, the Indian call them Tlohansa Tichi.
What does that mean,
Tlohansa Tichi? Tlohansa Tichi means that, well, the nickel head flat.
He told me that he had seen a bear with horns. Did you ever hear of a bear with horns?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Some Indian had killed a bear with horns up on the Nation River, I think it was.
No, I never heard about it. Well, I wanted to tell the story of Fairbanks. Early days, I came here. I coming from Circle, you know. I was poor, you know. I got a little load of grub. That's all I had to start with. And when I come to Eagle Creek, there was lots of rabbits and ptarmigans, and I got 22 and killed those. Feed my dog. I fed myself. Anyway, I got used to live on the meat alone. I live on meat alone. I save flour and whatever I got. Well, it took me about 2 months to get here. Lots of people going by, you know, and I kill moose and sell meat. I could make lots of money, but most people is broke too, like I am, you know. I give them meat just the same. When I got here in May, around about 1st of May, I guess I didn't mark any. Lots of rabbits here, lots of spruce hen. And we got here, people come from Dawson, from outside, with horses and dogs and all they can hold, you know, from Circle. Lots of meat in Circle. There was a whole storage boat. Force in and Circle, Robert Carr. He got lots of meat. And people come here in the spring, you know, and they've got bedding and tent and stove and all lots of junk, you know, and when they got here with very little grub, it's all gone. There's about 1,000 tents around here. I put my tent up and I got a little grub. People want to buy. Well, anyway, I could live out of the country. I sold them. I sold them. There's lots of rabbits here. Good thing there was lots of rabbits. Before steamboat come up, why, we're all hungry. But people stick together, you know. I sure pioneer work together and help each other. Nobody went so hungry. They got lots of rabbits and teaching them how to snare the rabbits. The spruce hen is easy to get too, you know. You're not scared. So we picked some cranberries too from last year. That's where we live. But steamboat come up pretty quick, you know, with a grub. When I come up here, I was come down and on. I was traveling in the spring. Daytime is too soft, so I travel in nighttime when it falls. And I got tired, just sun started to come up. I got tired and pulled most of the load myself. I sit down in my sled. There was cabin all along there, 2 or 3 cabin in the creek. And all at once, you know, I went to sleep. I went to doze off, you know. Somebody pat me in the back and he said, "You're tired." I said, "Yes. Why don't you sleep in the cabin? I work all day. You can sleep there." I said, "Sure." I went in and sleep there. That was Philip Pedro.
Philip Pedro?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I didn't find his name until next when I get up. I gave him a piece of meat.
Then what did you do?
I come here, and I own 2-3 lot here. And my father got sick, and I had to go. I gave it away. I sold one, though, for 30-40 rifle. But two of them, I gave it away. I went back to Serbia.
How long did you live here?
Oh, but whole summer and most of the winter.
How many streets were here then? Was 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Avenue here?
Well, when the first I come here in the spring, there's only 5 cabins. Down NC Company, where NC Company was, the Captain Barnett has this little store there, and of course it's empty. Him and the Japanese, they got a little steamboat come up here, and they put a little store there. They got home there back there, that's 2 cabins, and they got cabin in Pastime Place Corner there. And they got 2-3 beside that, that's all.
What year?
1903.
Well, lots of trees here. There were lots of trees all over this place then. Hmm? Lots of trees all over.
Well, no tree around here. It's just not a little tree. There's tent all over.
You spent most of your life then back at Circle. Is that where you
I went back to Circle. Yeah. That's where I live. I stay there until my father died in 1911. Then I went down to Fort Yukon in 1912. Oh. That's where I still was.
Oh, man, when did you get married?
I got married in 1906, first wife. My first kid is 60 years old now.
You had trap line on the Beaver Creek, Paul?
Yes.
How did you get that trap line there?
How I get it? I build it myself. I make it a figure 8, you know. I go around 6 days, and then I go around 6 days. Sunday, every day I stay home. Sunday.
Did you ever see these musk oxen out here?
Who?
Did you ever see the musk oxen out here?
No.
Did you ever hear of any up in the Chandelier?
No.
Well, that's why I asked about that that bear with horns, because Henry Appel said that was a musk ox that Indian had killed.
Maybe, I don't know, I never heard about it. When I was trapping, you know, I made a lot of money. It took me 7 years to build it, and just about started to make money, and then my kid became a school. So I had to quit making lots of money. Nice boat, 2 nice homes. I lost them all for my children's education. And most of them went through high school now, and 4 of them went through college. 2 of them went through college for electronic. One in the Army, one working in California.
But you have grandchildren too then, I suppose.
Well, I got 36 grandchildren. 28 great grandchildren.
Whoa. 28.
Paul, was you ever ill in your life? Was you ever very sick any time in your life?
What? Yes, you were sick any time in your life. Yeah, he had cancer, I guess, Dr. Burke.
I'm sick now. Other day I was in the hospital.
Not seriously, though.
Well, Dr. Burke operated on him, he said.
Yeah, I wasn't sick, but they just can't heal. He operated, whole side cut off. I don't know, he didn't tell me what for or nothing.
Getting back to Circle, you remember any of the old timers like Bill McPhee?
Huh? Bill McPhee?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know him. He was here this summer.
Oh, no, that's another McPhee.
That's Jack McPhee.
Oh, that's a Jack McPhee. That's what.
That's old Bill McPhee.
Bill McPhee, I don't know him.
Yeah, he had flu in there in Circle.
McQuestion?
Who?
McQuestion?
Yeah, McQuestion, I didn't see him.
You didn't see him?
Yeah. He got away from Shackle before I got there.
You ever see Tex Rickard? Do you remember Tex Rickard?
Yeah.
You see him?
Mm-hmm. I see Al Mayo.
Yeah, Al Mayo, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I knew them people came here from Circle. Callahan, Don Callahan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
Steele?
I know his daughter was here.
Helen, yeah.
Helen Callahan.
Yeah.
That's the only one live here, okay? We come,
right.
Bunch of us. And George Wakeshan, and Ed Wakeshan, his brother.
Mm-hmm.
We come all together, but they left me out there. I was staying up behind. And Judge Claypool.
Yeah, Judge Claypool. Paul, let me ask you another question now. Getting back to the Koyukuk, you know, when he was a boy. Reading the history of Koyukuk in regards to the white man going in there and making discoveries of gold. Now I have a history that old Frank Udo gave me of who discovered gold, where, on what creeks in there, you know, in the early days, 96. And tells their names, who discovered the gold, and it states on there, they were later killed by the Indians.
I don't know that place down there.
Christian Village, there was two prospectors killed.
No, I'm not.
Come up here, Frank.
That's quite a handicap when you're deaf.
I heard there was two prospectors killed by the Indians at Christian Village. Is that right?
No. Lots of things you heard in that soul.
Yeah.
I told him, somebody told me, he said, Lucian said, no God. I said, if there is no God, they say there is no God, why they have a preacher of their own? Who they preach to?
Paul, you know Frank Butto in the early days?
Frank Butto?
Butto. Old timer. He was in Circle here in the very early days. Frank Butto.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know him?
I don't know him.
There's your coffee.
Maybe I know him, but I don't know people's name, you know.
No. Well, he was the one that gave me this history of who discovered gold where in Circle Country, Koyukuk, and Yukon, and Iditarod, and all over, see?
Circle Country discovered gold by a preacher.
Yeah. Who made the first discovery?
Yeah.
You see a preacher come here?
Preacher Creek.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they had Indian loan, and they come here, then they go back.
Mm-hmm.
When they make tea in that creek there, Masterton Creek, and they go across there, they make tea, and preacher went down this creek to drink water. And he found gold in there.
Oh, what creek was that?
That's at Masterton.
Yeah, Masterton. Yeah, that's right.
Frank Yusuda was the first one to find gold in the Chandler.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I heard his story. I published it in the Sportsman.
What's that fellow's name that had the story at Beaver?
Beaver? Frank Yusuda.
No, his thing in Manhattan?
Manhattan. Yeah, you know Jack Manhattan.
Oh, yes. He married to Paul Henry's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He had a store up there at Valdechuk one time.
Black River, someplace.
There was a fellow before Manhattan, too, there. I've forgotten his name.
Before?
Yeah, before Manhattan.
I know his name, but
I can't think of it either.
Frank Yusuda, that's his partner.
You remember the old Horton and Moore?
Oh, yes.
Fort
I know old Bowman.
Yeah.
He got his first store in Fort Yukon.
That's right.
After
way back.
After Hudson Bay left us.
You ever go to Rampart in the early days?
Yeah, not the early days, lately. First year I was went to Rampart, got...
Thank you.
That's the time I see 1907, that's the only time I went to Rampart. I know Charlie Mill, Tom Mill.
You know Manook?
Yes.
Manook was the man that discovered gold on that.
Yeah, and Manook Creek, yeah.
96, wasn't it?
96? I don't know what time.
Something like that, yeah.
After that, I guess.
Early, that was earlier than Dawson.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was earlier than Dawson, and so was the Circle Country.
Yeah. And the 40 Mile, too.
Mm-hmm. I never could find out who discovered the 40 Mile.
Frank, didn't you have
a discovery?
Yeah, I
haven't.
Learned the 40
miles?
Yeah, sure.
He wasn't Ledoux. Wasn't Joe Ledoux.
No, it wasn't Ledoux.
He was a trader later.
Yeah. No. But if anyone wants to call me on that, my home, I'll be glad to give them that information. In fact, then, on any gold discovery,
mm-hmm.
early days, I got all their names from old Frank Butel, and he was the last living member of the Yukon Order of Pioneers that was organized in the 40 Mile in 1896.
Well, you must have known the Steele family.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Jackson, was Jack Steele, was it, from Eagle? He was here at the Steele Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was Mr. Steele's first name?
Bob
Steele. Yeah. Yeah, Bob Steele.
Mm. You know Bob Steele from
here.
Yeah.
When Whiter came to town here, didn't he drive a herd of cattle?
That's Cal Miller. Cal Miller did.
From Circle to here.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but that he had a herd of cattle here. He brought in a herd of cattle. That's where he got his name, Kyle Miller.
No, he brought him into Dawson.
Was that's where he got
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
But first cattle got here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was here then.
What was the name of the man that brought that first cattle in here?
I don't know. They're Carl Miller, they call him. I don't know.
Well, Carl Miller...
Where did he come from? Where did he bring the cattle from?
From Fort Circle over here. They come down in the steamboat and drive up over here.
Well, that might be right.
I think that is right. That's where Carl Miller got his name, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
You know Frank Miller? And
yeah. I'm not an old-timer like Frank is.
We worked the same company in 1910.
To go back to this, getting the caribou, you say you didn't last through them, did you? You say you
snared them.
Well, how do you snare them? Do they catch them with the foot, or do you have these up in the air?
Did you hang these snares down from a pole down so they run their necks in?
Mm-hmm. No, they got something on both sides to hold them up. Always have that snare down the ground, close to the ground. I see caribou come down there, get caught way up in the air, come down. They never move again. Just broke his neck. Mm-hmm.
A little pole,
all of both sides, about that high, and about that big snare. But I run down there all one step, and get caught just in a few minutes, all of that caught.
Mm-hmm.
and that's, that just throws them on the ground. Most of them don't die right away. How did you kill them? With a knife?
Cut them. We pack them out first. Pack them out the fence. The fence is just built, well, I don't know, just built like that, and then lead, and they go through little holes, maybe this side. They go through them, they go up, and they find out no outlet. So they run down, and they get caught, all of them get caught in the snare.
Sam, isn't there a caribou trap made by the natives up the Good Pasture and over in the Ketchum Stock?
Ketchum Stock. That was the longest one in Alaska, 50 miles long.
I've heard about that.
About half encircled Ketchum Stock Flats.
Yeah, well, there's parts of that still standing, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Last time I went over there, this
fence...
You can see it from the air section.
Not standing, but you could see them all. The ground and don't ever thaw it out that much, that's all. And nothing grows. And you could see all of them fence. Oh, lots of them up there where we are. And that's the only way we could make a living.
You have bears up there.
Lots of bears.
Yeah.
Brown bear.
Yeah, you...
My father got caught by bear. You know, hunting, carry gun. Them days, you know, you gotta keep them dry. Otherwise, get wet, then you can't shoot it. Mm-hmm. He got that in gun case. When the bear, when he sleep, if you go close to him, you wake him up, or you sure to fight. It's the only time you fight. Unless you crowd him, you fight, but if you give him a chance to get away, you get away. But if you sleep, you wake him up, he gotta fight. And my father got caught, chewed up pretty bad, but he killed him with a knife. He don't know he killed a bear, he go away and he...
He killed him with a knife, huh?
Yeah.
That takes some doing.
Bart showed up too. Oh, he come home, just about come home, and he got sick, and we went back to see where he did. That bear didn't go very far, he died.
Did you ever, these whalers that were all, how did they live up there? Did they have enough food, or were they all starving to death too up on Herschel Island? Did they, when a whole lot of them got locked in up there, iced in?
No bear, you mean?
No, I'm talking about the whalers when they got iced in at Herschel Island. Did those people starve to death up there?
No, there's lots of seal there. I don't know. I don't know that country. I don't know the way they do in that country.
They took all the provisions. They stayed there for
early
the
day, we don't
all
go
the
around.
With them.
We stay where we are, and so.
Paul, did you know Chief Sanati?
Chief Nazi?
Sanati.
No.
What do they call that when they have a party and give presents away?
Potlatch.
Yeah, you've been to lots of those. Huh?
Oh, yes, yes. You know, a long time ago, your Indian ways, you're not supposed to have money, you know. Mm. Yeah. Too much money, no good. So, whoever make money, you buy blanket and all them clothing, then they give it away. Somebody die, then they give it away.
Well,
thank you.
I went to a potlatch at Arctic Village,
mm-hmm.
and these Indians, they know I'm a white man, so they give me a jawbone of the caribou. So I fooled them. I ate it anyway. But they know better. But they have a lot of grayling there. And,
you know that Indian got story. Samson, he used a jawbone of the moose.
Oh, a jawbone of
the moose. Kill 1,000 men.
You have a flood story?
Flat story, yes.
Yeah. I read someplace in some book that up in the Brooks Mountains, they still got the ribs of that boat from the flood. That was in Artist Village by Marshall, was that story. But you heard that story before?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
Well, I don't see it myself, but somebody says boat up there, a high mountain up there. I don't know how high, there's three high mountains up there. They call it an Indian name, Tlatsak. That's the first one. Then another mountain, Nichitla. That's a close to Arctic Village.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then there's another one up where I was living, Nikatiyasain. Nikatiyasain means mountain, and top is another one.
Oh.
And Nichitla means another one too, just the same word, only a different word.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
There's two, Nichitla means two mountain on top of one another.
That's very close to Arctic Village.
Yeah.
About 20 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And then right behind that is Mount Yasuda. We named that after Frank Yasuda because people tell me that he came down.
He came down through there. Yeah,
right
someplace.
Through the pass right by Arctic Village, mm-hmm. and then down the East Chandler. The East Chandler River is right at Arctic Village. Arctic Village is up on a little hill.
Yeah.
A little hill, about 50 feet. And that's about 8 miles from John Lake.
You know the name of that fellow that used to have used to live up on that the river of that comes right into the comes right straight down from the north into the Koyukuk.
He had
John River?
No, no. It's it comes down into the not the Koyukuk, into the Porcupine, comes right straight south.
Black River?
There was a fellow there had raised a big family up there. No,
oh,
that's
the Colleen.
Huh? Colleen, on the Colleen, yeah.
Colleen River?
Mm-hmm. Ed Owen.
Ed Owen, yeah. That was it, yeah.
Colleen River and Salmon River come from the same mountain. This close together.
Well, the Salmon River is your home river.
Did you know Ed Owen?
Oh, yes. That's an old timer.
Yeah, he had a big family up there.
Yeah, Joe Ward. He's still in Fort Yukon.
Well, now, Paul, a person does not hunt and fish in this country and trap year after year without having some very exciting experiences. Haven't you had some close calls with bear? Falling through the ice or something, can't you tell us some stories about your experiences? You've had some close shaves, you had to if you traveled in this country that much. Tell us some of the exciting things that have happened to you.
Yeah. Well, the animals, you know, they know just as much as we are. You know, bear, you'll give him a chance to get away, he'll get away. If you start a crowding, that's the only time he'll fight. Just like my tribe is. You know, you crowd us, then we fight. Then nobody bother us. Whenever they fight, we just sing them off. That's why they're scared of us. Of course, they're trained soldier.
How did you kill bear before they had guns?
Oh boy, now, oh, easy to snare him.
Jesus.
He don't show snare. Mm-hmm. You find bear trail where you set snare there, you get caught. And he don't choke himself, but you could kill him with a bow and arrow.
Paul, did you ever snare a moose?
Oh, yes.
What you use for snares?
Yes, use lots of, catch lots of moose with a snare. He even get caught in a wolf snare. When I was trapping last trip, I want to go to town, you know, and I go around last trip, you know, fixing all the camp and enough wood for next year. And gee, I was in a hurry. 3 moose get into my snare, the wolf snare, get around the nose and eat that. And I don't want to leave it there, and I stay there until I feed him to the dogs. Oh, you make me...
What do you make this moose snare out of? What do you make him?
Right now?
No, but what was it? Willows or rope or what?
Oh, it's just rawhide.
Rawhide?
Cut. Maybe, well, we say rawhide, just a little string. Check a dozen string to make snare.
Yeah.
Twisting.
Mm-hmm.
The Eskimos said when in the early days when they ate caribou, they ate everything.
Yeah.
Stomach, insides.
Everything. We ate everything.
Yeah.
Foot and all.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't your father let you drink cold water?
Huh?
What's wrong with cold water?
We don't drink cold water.
Why?
I don't know. It's just my parents tell us not to drink it. And just drink water, what you boil meat in, that's all. We can drink all we wanted, but cold water, or sometimes I go out, eat snow.
Did you have tea in those early days?
No tea. No salt.
When did you first eat salt, Paul?
Huh?
How old were you the first time you ate salt?
Oh, Circle City.
You eat it now? Do you like it or?
Well, that's the thing. I don't like it, but the people doing it, I'm doing it. I didn't smoke. My father said, smoke is not bad, but you don't need it. Your body not need it. So. You just burn your money up. You work hard for and you just burn your money up, he said.
So father was a pretty wise man.
So I didn't smoke. And one thing, people, you know, first thing they learn, they know how to swear. And my father said, that's just a silly. Don't try to learn anything like that. I never did learn how to swear. I don't think my family heard a bad thing I said. That's the one good thing. That's the only one good thing I done in my life.
did you put up berries or anything like that? There must have been lots of blueberries up there where you were.
Well, there's lots of blueberries up there, but they're so small, hard to pick. Oh, it is good though. It's sweet. Berries around here, big all right, but not sweet.
But you didn't have a way of putting them in a hide or anything to keep them for the winter like the Eskimos
do? We never had enough pick to keep them for winter.
Lucky they were meat eaters, I think, entirely.
Lucky to get enough to eat out of it.
That's why they didn't want salt, you know. They, people eat meat and straight, never eat salt.
Oh.
They dry their meat, too.
Did you dry it, too?
Dry meat.
Huh?
Did you dry your meat?
Oh, yes. That's a trade. But dry meat all summer.
Oh.
And cache them. And during the winter, pick them up.
You in a smokehouse, that kind of drying, or just outdoor
or
dry?
We make a dry house, but we put smoke underneath, but no house, just open.
No house, just underneath. Mm-hmm. But you cut it in strips?
Mm-hmm.
The meat in strips or in size?
No, not quarters? Not strip, just thin skin like that.
That's all the blowflies won't get it.
I don't know if there's any up there.
Mm-hmm. Blowflies wherever you go in the world about.
I was up there when they're drying meat, and they have a little willows like this, about that big, and they just hang their meat inside of that.
Well, nowadays they do it different, you know. My days is different too.
How did you do it in your day?